Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we restarted the points, and it's a commentary on the epistles. Today, I would like you to open your missal, and you notice that today's epistle reading was not in your purple liturgy book. The ones that are the normal reading for the series are in the purple book in the back. When there's a feast day that the reading will supersede the one for the day, we put it in the missal. So you see in the heading of the missal, today is St. Anthony's feast. Anthony was a great, huge saint, and therefore, in order to merge some material for the saint and some material for the Sunday, the Father said, we'll read the epistle reading appropriate for the saint, and we'll read the gospel reading for the day. So the epistle reading is there. It's from Hebrews. I almost don't need to talk about the context because we're not really in the period of Hebrews, and it was written by Paul. We'll just say that. Some scholars will say it's unknown who wrote it. Orthodox writers from the past have introduced the idea that it really doesn't say Paul. We're not sure. Perhaps definitely it is Paul as the author, but the writer might be somebody else. There's also the idea that it may have been written in Hebrew originally, and then someone translated it very eloquently into very good Greek. It is probably, an example of very good grammatical Greek. That being said, the liturgical relevance for it being placed today is, as I said, the Feast of St. Anthony, and so we took what was decided, for his honor. And the reason why it was chosen for St. Anthony and for other monastic and ascetic saints is because of certain words in there. For example, in Greek, or even in English, it says, brethren, obey, right? The virtue of obedience is huge in monasticism. And then it says, adelphi pithestetis ihumenis imon. It says, obey your ihumenos. All right, ihumenos is the Greek word that is used for the word abbot, the head of a monastery, or abbess for the head of a monastery. So here we have two words, already that are pointing to, monastic ideas, monastic virtues. And the other one is obey them because they are keeping watch over you. And the Greek word for that is agripnousi, agripnia. That is the term of the, monastic, the ascetic virtue of vigilance, keeping vigil and watchfulness. So for those reasons, I think it seemed appropriate to assign this reading to a monastic saint. Okay, so that's the liturgical relevance. That's why we're reading it today. But now let's go to some translation issues. The actual word where it says, brethren, obey your leaders, the word leaders could be translated differently. Another version says, those who rule over you. And you could think it's our governors and our presidents and our kings, but actually it's referring to our spiritual leaders. Okay? So he's referring to bishops, priests, or if you're in a monastery, an abbot, or something like that. So Paul is exhorting the people to, submit to their teaching, and to what they tell you to do. And another, like I said, the word for keeping watch, if we wanted to really drive it home that it's a monastic virtue, I suppose we could have translated it keeping vigil or are vigilant, for you. Minor things, not anything dogmatic. So some points to make here are that when he says obey your leaders and submit to them, he's referring, like I said, to our church leaders, be they bishops, our parish priest, or an abbot in a monastery or something like that, our spiritual father, our spiritual guides. Obey and submit means to listen to them and to do what they tell you. Now, from what I read Orthodox commentaries, and so I don't make it up. It said even if they're a bad priest, even if they're like morally degenerate, if they're, God forbid, but I mean, if they're teaching the right thing, do what they say. They're teaching the right thing. Do what they say. They're not telling you to go be immoral. If they're immoral in their personal life, I mean, God knows, and the church will take care of that eventually or whatever. On the other hand, it says, if they're not teaching sound doctrine and sound teaching, even if they have a perfect life, that a person like that should be run away from, they say, the reading says. Because someone whose dogma is a certain way, they're going to teach you that way, and if it's wrong, they're going to teach you wrong. Seems like a contradiction, but anyway, God forbid that we have any immoral pastors or anything like that, but anyway, so that's the teaching that counts. And they are keeping watch over your souls. They are vigilant. Let's say, you know, what are the current trends? What are the current teachings that may be affecting us? They're watching out for those things and making sure that we're getting, you know, proper teaching about how to resist those things, the current stuff. And they are watching like shepherds over sheep. And they will be held accountable to the Lord for their work and for any sins that their flock does that were not addressed, that were not either they weren't warned about or they weren't rebuked or they never knew it was a sin or whatever it was. And you've seen the priestly and the episcopal vestments. You've seen at the bottom of the stole, they have these little fringes, right? These little tassels, little ones. And some people say that those are symbolic of the souls that are dependent, you know, on the priest, and that, you know, he carries them and that he will be responsible to say, I taught them, I told them, I told them. Or if he didn't, you know, I didn't. And now, and he also exhorts, finally, in this, I'm only going to touch on the first few lines of this passage. It says, let them do this joyfully and not sadly. And parents and anyone who's in charge of anything at a business, or you know that if people, you know, do what you tell them, your job is just so much easier, you know. And if they're ornery or contradictory, you know, it becomes sad and burdensome, and you still have to do your job. But St. Paul is saying, you know, let your church leaders do this joyfully and not sadly. And he says, because that would not be of advantage to you if they were to do it sadly. And I'll read to you, I'll paraphrase what I found St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain. He writes a little comment on that little caveat at the end. Bear with me. He says, if you talk back to your priest or bishop and behave shamelessly towards him, he will still watch out and take care of your soul, but if you don't correct yourself, he will sigh against you to God. And that sigh is no good for you. No, as a matter of fact, it can be very bad for you. You see, St. Paul does not permit church leaders to vindicate themselves against the insubordinate people with any other way except only a sigh. And that sigh will bring gentleness and long-suffering and patience to the priest. But for the insubordinate, it prepares a hotter fire in hell, because his or her insubordination convinces God to chastise them severely. So don't underestimate the fact that your priest can only vindicate himself by sighing, because that little sigh reaches the Lord's ears and it delivers you to the wrath of God. Who says the Orthodox don't preach fire and brimstone? So the takeaway from this, and I'm ending, we honor St. Anthony by associating him with this epistle reading, since he was a good leader, Ihumenos, who taught and led by word and deed, and a paragon of monastic and ascetic virtues of obedience, vigilance, prayer, and the rest. That's why we associate him with this reading. And we are reminded that it is good for us to obey our own church leaders, because it makes their job of teaching and leading and watching out for us easier, and they can do it with joy.